So scripture today comes from Revelation, this wonderful vision that spreads backwards and forwards and encompasses all kinds of symbols and language that we'll never decode entirely, but it will speak to us. And it speaks to us today about Christ, who is our King. So listen to the word of God for you. Grace to you and peace from the one who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Christ Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving our God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining with full force. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever. I have the keys of death and of Hades." That from the one who saw this vision and brought it to light. And then this passage from John's Gospel, where Jesus stands in the hall of judgment. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or do others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. My followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews if it were. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" The word of the Lord. So we're entering into this amazing season of holidays, and that really began in October, of course. But now we're entering into this season of holidays, and I imagine that that some of us, most of us, many of us that can, are making plans to gather with people that we know, with that we love, with people we care for, maybe with people we don't know, to share with what we have. But it made me think of all the different holidays that come around these days, many of them created by corporations and by people who have special interests in these holidays. Here's just a few of them. There's International Pancake Day. Maybe you celebrate that. But that's also known as Shrove Tuesday. If you go to IHOP, you can be part of that. National Rotisserie Chicken Day. Did you know? June 2nd, created by those good folks at Boston Market. There's National Coffee Day, September 29th. I don't know what's good about that day. Are you signaling me? No, okay. Oh, I see. National Coffee Day at your house. I think the 29th would be maybe the day that we all realize that summer is over. That's why we need coffee. I don't know. There's Small Business Saturday, which is an important day for a lot of people. It was created by American Express as a way to encourage people to be in small business. Cyber Monday, the day after that holiday weekend that's coming up. But, you know, it's kind of like almost every day is cyber or something these days. Record Store Day, sometime in April, that helped drive the sale of vinyl albums again. I don't know, maybe you're getting back into vinyl. Here's a good one, 7-Eleven Day, July 11th, get your free Slurpee. National Drive-Through Day, that's another one that's almost every day now. I wasn't real interested in this one, National. So I didn't even put a picture up there, I hope you don't mind. And then people are just creating all kinds of hashtag days. You know, turn around, it's cats, dogs, reptiles, siblings, grandparents. Well, today is such a day as well. It's Christ the King Sunday. Because Christ the King Sunday didn't come into being 2,000 years ago when the first followers of Jesus began to organize themselves first into small groups that met in houses. It didn't even come into being in those early centuries when what we call the early church fathers were formalizing this thing, this thing that we participate in, the body of Christ. It came into being just a century ago when Pope Pius XI thought that it would be helpful as a response to two trends that he saw happening in the world. One was towards greater secularism, especially in the Western part of the world, in Europe and in our part of the world. Secularism and materialism, when people were just getting caught up with their stuff, and that stuff was the important thing of life. That was one of the things that he thought would be helpful to have this occasion, Christ the King. The other one was this movement in the governments, in many governments of the world, towards holding on to power and treating people in nations as if all they had to do was serve that nation. You know, Hitler in Germany and Mussolini in Italy and Joseph Stalin in Russia. That was the original meaning and intention of Christ the King Sunday. But now, as it falls on this last Sunday of what we call the liturgical year, it also has a great meaning because it brings us full circle as next week we begin during the season of Advent to celebrate and remember the incarnation, the coming of Christ into the world. And we may not be entirely comfortable with that idea, this interplay between Christ being King, Christ ruling our lives. We may be much more comfortable in companionship of Jesus, who went around teaching and healing and touching and being with people as a brother and sister, breaking down the walls between us. We may not be comfortable with the image of Christ that presides over our worship, the picture that was painted in the book of Revelation, Christ coming in the clouds, visible to the whole earth, clothed in royal robes, a sash across his chest, his hair like white wool, his eyes aflame, his feet like fire, his voice like a thousand waters. It's not a comfortable, cuddly image, in part because it speaks of the potential in the end, for the end of all things, and of judgment. But it is who Christ is and where Christ is now and how Christ relates to us. Richard Rohr wrote something about these things that captivated me, and I want to just share a couple of those thoughts. He writes, Christ is not the same as Jesus. Now don't be shocked. Don't be scandalized. Don't think I've lost faith. Christ has existed for only 2,000 years. Jesus. Christ, the King of Heavens, the pattern of all things, has existed according to our present understanding of the universe for 14.6 billion years. From the best we know through science, the Big Bang is when God first decided to show God's self. That's the original incarnation, the Alpha Point. We are the first people who ever had a name and an approximate date for it. And now our telescopes reveal that this universe is still expanding after 14.6 billion years. The Christ is still unfolding. Perhaps the second coming of Christ is when, Richard Rohr writes, as scientists predict will happen, the whole thing stops expanding, and in a quick moment, everything will implode and return to the source. I don't know if this is how it will happen. We don't need to know. Jesus reminded us that worrying about such things doesn't add a minute to our lives. We don't need to worry about it. It's not our problem. But what we do know is that the Alpha and the Omega are the same thing. What God revealed as Plan A, the Christ, to reveal who God is in the universe, in creation, in every creature, and everything that exists on Earth and all planets, is now a revelation of the mystery of God from beginning to end. That's why in a moment of time, that moment when we celebrate in just a few weeks, this eternal Christ came as a person, which you and I know as Jesus. Creation itself is the timeless incarnation, which we call Christ. And Jesus is the personal incarnation of a moment of time, when we could begin to understand how personal God can be to us. Christianity is the religion that dares to believe this. Do you realize what a daring belief system we have? Can you really believe that the ordinary-looking man born in a dusty town in Palestine is the eternal blueprint of what God has been doing since the beginning of time in the Christ? That is what we believe when we say we believe in Jesus the Christ. Those are big thoughts, big enough for us and big enough for our faith and big enough for the one who lives with us and lives in us and who gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can persevere in faith. And so today's the day when we can affirm that we owe our allegiance, our loyalty, and our lives and every effort to the true authority of Christ, Christ Jesus, Christ the King. In this season of thanksgiving, we owe to Christ our gratitude for saving us into the future that God has in store for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.